This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You were about to describe something about a case here, Randall, that William's going to tell us about?
Well, no, we were just discussing a case, actually, that was right in your area, right on January 9th. Like, you're in Mesa, right?
It's called Mesa.
Or Mesa, yeah.
It's like the second largest city in Arizona, second to Phoenix. And it's very much a bedroom community for Phoenix, but then there's a lot of industry out here. Of course, with the pandemic, I have no idea what's going on, but let's continue. What happens, though, is that we have these cases in Arizona near Phoenix, near where I am currently living, and I never know about when it happens.
Well, the thing about this report, you would expect a lot of people might see it. I mean, it was 5:15 p.m. January 9th. I mean, what was that? I'm trying to do some arithmetic on dates. I guess that would have been a Friday. You know, you would expect 5:15 p.m. That's rush hour. You would expect people to see it, but again, I don't get every UFO report. I mean, MUFON gets some, National UFO Reporting Center gets some. Sometimes I parse those sites to see if there's any correlated sightings, but, and it's not the first dumbbell type, and not any reference to the witness, but dumbbell shaped UFOs that I've had. I mean, I've got a category of dumbbell shaped UFOs. So.
Yeah, they're a little bit more rare, but I mean, they are out there. Some of the better sightings are of that type of a
absolutely
object.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
There's another report that I would like to discuss. That this was in Redmond, Washington, November 15th, 2020. Strange metallic object seen in videotape. Now, you got to look at this video. This is weird. This object appears to be twisting and turning, moving back and forth, defying gravity, moving downward. And it's a strange case. I lived in Redmond the last year that I lived in the Seattle metro area. Redmond is a suburb, kind of a well-to-do suburb. I was living in a senior citizen housing at the time. It's kind of out towards the foothills of the Cascade Mountains, a little bit higher altitude, but the witness says, "Good evening, William. My daughter saw a strange object around 4:30 p.m. today in Redmond, Washington. Attached is a video. What do you think? Could it be a drone? She said she didn't hear any sounds. She was with her husband, and they both saw the same thing. Thank you again for your time." I comment, "The video shows that the object was moving erratically, shows it descending rapidly. The object appears metallic, and that it was rotating on its axis. I don't think that it was a drone." I did get four comments on this. None of the comments that I've had have really to the negative. So, you know, what is it? I don't know. I think it's a genuine UFO.
Yeah, that's at least the video. It doesn't look like it's fake to me. It looks like it's of something. It could be a drone. It could be even like a Mylar balloon or something, maybe caught in the wind and spinning. But it's definitely an object. I don't know that it's an alien craft, but without more information, I mean, there's kind of like, it looks like there's really something there, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the erratic movement, let's postulate that it was a balloon and that it was coming down. I mean, it was descending. That's about one of the few things we can say about the video. And it shows that erratic movement. Well, you could have what we meteorologists call a wind shear type situation where you get, a pretty drastic change in wind direction. That's fairly low in the atmosphere, and I don't have any evidence from the video. If you look at the video, I'm going to look at it while I'm talking to you. you know, you don't really see. You can see, there is some wind. I mean, you can look at the tree in the background.
Yeah, you can see that.
Is some wind, but again, it's not, the tree's not bending like, say here in Helena today, if you saw something like that, yeah, moving erratically, you know, when you got, you know, 60 knot winds at the surface, you're going to get a lot of wind shear. I mean, this is something that aircraft are afraid of. I mean, you get in an airplane and you're landing and on a windy day, you're going to get bounced around pretty good because the wind moves in three dimensions. I mean, well,
the other thing about this is if I'm reading this right, it looks to me like the wind should be pushing the object, if it's a balloon, off to the right-hand side of the screen. And it for a good part of it, if that's the case, it's resisting the wind. It's not drifting entirely to the right the whole time. It does so more as it starts to get lower to the ground. So I'm thinking, and those light, the way that light kind of glints off it, it actually looks like it might be more an actual light on the thing. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. The thing too is, yeah, I mean, as you point out, the, you know, the being a balloon, the, when I looked at this and I did extract a still frame, I could not find any tether on that. If it was high altitude balloon or even other balloons, sometimes you'll see a tether. And a drone, well, a possibility, but drones make noise. And I, of course, we don't know how big the object was. I mean, I'm not saying it's alien spacecraft, but it does exhibit erratic movement. I do not have any reason to believe there were strong low-level wind shear, and the change in lighting and everything, the lack of sound, and in the background, you don't hear a lot of wind in the background. The audio is pretty good on the video that was taken. Again, it's certainly food for thought. I did classify it as unidentified.
I think we're dealing with a genuine object there. I think suggesting it's a drone is probably the most reasonable, but you know, unless we know more about it or something, you know, really strange happens, like if there's another report of the same thing or something like that, because it looks like it just went down and disappeared behind the trees in the distance. I mean, I see a lot of drones out here. They fly them, they used to fly them regularly across the field and from my house before they built a road there. Now they fly them a little bit further to the south. And sometimes they even fly them at night, and they've got lights on them that spin, and they're very, very weird looking. Like, if you didn't know they were a drone, you would think they were a UFO. But
yeah, that's true. I mean, Redmond is, having lived there, I believe that was taken towards the east. I'd have to double-check that. That is towards the Cascade, foothills of the Cascades, and there's less people that live that way. People could fly a drone out there. I don't believe that's any close to any. I mean, Seattle Tacoma Airport is way, and Boeing Field is way away from where this was. There would be some airports out towards the Cascades.
So many people have them these days too. But still, I mean, I like going through these. You know, we miss having you on regularly to bring these to us because regardless, and we've talked about this before, regardless of whether or not it's something really truly outstanding or not, it's interesting to look at them just from an educational perspective to just see what people are reporting and to talk about the various cases that are taking place and being reported to you. So maybe what's another one?
Well, here's another one I think worthy of mention. I didn't put this on the list, but this actually caught the interest of Kevin. Major sighting, October 24th, 2020, over most of the Hawaiian Islands. V-shaped craft with lots of lights over Hawaii, around 10 p.m. local time. The local media, and I've got the video on my site, shows this triangular form, or I'd call it more of a rectangular, no, not rectangular, V, I'm sorry, formation of lights going over Hawaii, and the bottom lights are blinking.
Let's go to Hawaii in our next segment with more to come with Gene and Randall and William. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, what appears to be a fairly significant sighting that William's going to talk about. By the way, I think this is the sighting I heard from James Oberg, well-known skeptic. About this case, he said he had solved it, but never sent me the information. I even invited him on the Paracast, and I hear from him every couple of years, and he never seems to find time. So, William, as you tell us about this case, have you heard anything from the skeptics about it?
I got a lot of information. James Olberg visited my website and commented about it. And I will add, and I got to respect James. I mean, he's an aeronautical engineer, NASA. He did an exhaustive study of this report. I do have a link on my report of James Olberg's final report. He did an exhaustive study, but I do not agree with him that this was a Stage 3 Chinese rocket booster that was launched apparently in October 2008, which is 12 years ago. Those lights were blinking, and I do not believe that was space junk. James does, and he did quite an exhaustive study, and you can find the link on my site in the comments. And I got to credit James. He commented back and gave me a link to his site. The Adobe PDF file is on my site, a link to it. So you can go to that and get the report that he didn't send you. So I will add that. I still steadfastly do not believe this is a Chinese rocket booster. And the media will go, they'll go to the astronomers, and the astronomers will tell them that, case closed.
Doesn't it just get you how they do that? You know, they'll just go, oh, well, you know, on that day there was a bolide sighted in that area. That's what it was. Case closed. And they don't take into consideration all of the other evidence, just the evidence that they want to look at that meets their particular criteria for mundane object, case closed.
Yeah, I made my comments. I state, the media is saying that this was a reentry of a Chinese rocket booster. Looking at the video, I'm not sure of that explanation. Normally, space junk leaves a trail like a meteor. Another attribute that makes this theory less likely is that some of the lights were blinking. They stayed in formation. They weren't moving away from one another. I do not believe that that was a Chinese rocket booster entering the atmosphere. It just does not stand to reason. And I know James has a lot more expertise than I do, and he did write a report. And I did get other reports, another report on my site from another person in Hawaii that saw that. And that sighting is also posted on my report. So, again, it generated a lot of interest. The local TV station in Honolulu did make, to their credit, did put it on their late evening news, this particular report. But I do not believe that this is a Chinese rocket booster. I mean, I took a video with one inadvertently of one of my security cameras of a Chinese rocket entering an atmosphere. I think this is a few years ago. And actually, I saw it in the paper that people had seen it. So I looked at one of my security cameras, and I extracted the footage, and I sent it to the local NBC affiliate here in Helena. They put it on their news. And the good news about that is that the particular reporter, I stated in my comments that I'm a UFO investigator, and oh, I found this on my security camera, came out and interviewed me about UFO reports. So, but this was nothing like you're looking at here.
Yeah, I just was checking it out there. I could see how someone could say that it was some kind of reentering space junk. I get that. I don't think necessarily a rocket booster. There's too many fragments for it to be something like that, although I suppose it could break up into more pieces and so on. But this reminds me of what they did with the Fox Lake sighting in the Yukon back in 1996 up here in Canada.
Not so, Falcon Lake, is it? Are you talking about Falcon?
No, Fox Lake, okay. which is a different one. The Falcon Lake is the Michilac sighting. Yeah. No, this is up in the Yukon, and they said that that was a Russian booster that was reentering. But that doesn't explain how this booster then kind of stopped and hovered over the lake and shot beams of light down onto the ground, you know?
Another thing about this case is those blinking lights on the bottom. That mystifies me. And then the fact that this seems to be a homogeneous, like the dots are connected. I don't see any dispersion. I don't see any trailing. And I saw all that in my video that I took a few years ago with my security cameras. And I don't see that with this. Again, Dr. Olberg did a good report. I mean, he's got numerous witness reports in there. He did an exhaustive study. I got to hand it to him. I mean, he is an investigator. So.
Well, you know, we need skeptics to do that. I mean,
absolutely.
For all the skeptics out there, we're not dissing on you, okay? We need you to do these kinds of analysis so that we can look at it and balance it against whatever else we might come up with from various witnesses who were there at the time. But I can certainly see how this looks like it could be some kind of reentering space junk. Whether it's that booster or not, I don't know. I'm not convinced either way. I think this is a really interesting sighting, though.
Yeah. Well, my final word on it is, it could be reentry space junk, but I'm more than 50%.
You're leaning towards craft of some kind.
Yes, I am. Right. I can't rule it out. I mean, yeah. Dr. Olberg has a lot more expertise than I do, but I just, it's not what I have seen in the videos I've seen before. It doesn't look like space junk to me. But again, I can't rule it out by any means. The thing of it is with skeptics, yes, we need them, but you're never going to convince everybody. I mean, if you had crashed debris and you could have it analyzed by a materials specialist, and that material specialist says it has non-terrestrial isotopic ratios, you have photos of an alien being that were authenticated, and you know, numerous independent eyewitness reports, you're still not going to convince some people. Never.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. No. I mean some skeptics, short of a mothership tour, you know, where they took you on board and showed you everything, they're just not going to believe it. And even then, they might say, oh, I don't know if I can really believe that actually happened to me. It was some kind of psyops operation or something like that. So, yeah. I mean, we do need the skeptics, but at the same time, when people have these interesting experiences, then you bring them out to us, and then we can, for ourselves, have a look at them. And I think that your website is a really good resource for anyone who's interested in this sort of thing.
Anyway, as far as James Olberg is concerned, he's going to have to now come on the PowerCast and tell us why he disagrees with William about whether this is something conventional, ordinary, mundane, and all that other good stuff. By the way, William will be back on after the PowerCast, in addition to this show, part of the PowerCast Plus. More to come with Gene Randall. William, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The National Mall is now closed to the public as thousands of National Guard troops descend on Washington, D.C. ahead of Inauguration Day. The deployment is part of a massive security operation amid threats of more violence at President-elect Joe Biden's swearing-in. Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen tells CNN that based on those threats that law enforcement have identified, the security measures are needed.
We now have, I think, 25,000 National Guard men and women in Washington, D.C. That's 10 times the amount of troops that we currently have in Afghanistan, and that's just the National Guard. On top of that, of course, you have different police force. So I think the security is definitely necessary and warranted. It is a sad reflection on where we are in our democracy today.
This is USA Radio News. Part of a caravan of migrants from Honduras was blocked Saturday by Guatemalan security forces as they tried to cross into the country on their way to the United States. Officials estimate more than 6,000 people are part of this caravan. Mark Morgan says this could be the first of many groups who see a change in immigration policies as an opportunity to make for the U.S. The acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection tells Fox News they foresaw this outcome as part of the statements from the incoming Biden administration.
With the new administration's immigration strategies, which really are akin to open border strategies, we knew this was going to come, and it's already happened. But it's not just 1,000. Right now, we're looking at two groups that are well over 5,000. And one of those groups have already gotten through the Guatemala border, and they're on their way to El Rancho, which is about to, located centrally in Guatemala. It's coming. It's already started, just as we promised and anticipated it would with this rhetoric from the new administration on the border.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have tons of cases to explore since it's been quite a while since William Puckett was on the Paracast, and Randall was going to bring up another one. Go ahead, please.
Right. Rectangular craft with three stacked lights on corners. Red lights on sides. Date of sighting, yes. October 14th, 2020.
Yeah, this is an interesting case. The witness called me several times, and he re-verified that time by a phone call that he had made. He was sketchy on the time when he first made the report to me, and he knew he called a friend right at the end of the sighting, and he looked at the call log, which he showed me, and he said it was 8:40 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time when he made the call. He states he saw a rectangular craft with three stack lights on corners, red lights on the side, and I will reiterate his report. A man went outside to get some air and noticed a Cessna 310 aircraft flying south across American Lake in Lakewood, Washington. He was familiar with the sound of the aircraft. Obviously, he has some knowledge of aircraft if he knew it was a Cessna 310. He then noticed some red and white lights above the tree line to the south. Joint Base Lewis McChord Military Base, which is Fort Lewis and McChord Air Force Base, now it's called Joint Base Lewis McChord Base, is located in the area that he was looking toward. He was looking. He said that the lights looked like floating flares. The witness did not have a camera with him and didn't go fetch his camera. The lights started disappearing behind branches. He then walked south to the end of his deck, and suddenly the lights appeared very close to them. He thought that they could be around 50 feet away. He then saw the lights were mounted on a rectangular craft. The craft had three white lights stacked in each corner like traffic lights. Red lights were on the edges and flashed in sequence from front to back. The craft was 6 or 7 feet wide and about 12 feet long. The craft then began moving and was shining lights into the trees. The craft was totally silent, The craft moved like a Star Wars craft. It moved up the hill and out of view to the north. The object was visible for about 5 minutes. The witness called the public affairs officer at JBL base, which is the one I just mentioned. They said they had nothing in the air. The witness has also requested security tape footage from his neighbors, and he did get that footage. The footage didn't show anything, but I believe the witness stated that the craft was lower than the angle of the security footage, is my understanding. I have to read that, but he did go to his neighbor. And also, update, the witness stated that he has had a headache since his sighting. He feels like his hair is standing on edge. He did hear from the neighbor who had the security footage, and nothing was detected. However, the security cameras were pointed downward and didn't catch the sky. Now, that's a good point. You guys know I've got security cameras. My cameras are pointed somewhat upward so I can get UFOs. Most security cameras are pointed downward, and the guy that worked on my cameras a few months ago said that's why I get pits on my cameras, because they're pointed upward and I can get hailstones and stuff hitting them. So that's a very good point and something that I can verify having my own security footage. Now, I have requested and I have received radar data from Seattle-Tacoma Airport, local traffic control radar for this site. I've not analyzed it yet because I've been too busy, but I do have a good radar dump, and I'm going to look for that Cessna 310 on the radar tapes. That'll be my starting point on what this guy saw. It's a good report. In addition to the report, the person has had some alleged physical effects, and it sounds like the craft was quite close to him. And he did call the PR officer at Joint Space Fort Lewis McChord base, and they had nothing in the air.
This is really interesting. Technically, under the Hynek Valley system for categorizing the types of sightings, this counts as a close encounter of the fifth kind. That means that it's significantly unusual object that passes between the observer and a landmark or other visual cues of discernible distance, thereby enabling a close estimate of the object's size and speed. And in this case, it would be of the fifth kind because it includes positive or negative physical changes to the witness. So this is quite an outstanding report.
Yeah, and the interesting point, yeah, the witness has really done a lot of his own work. I mean, he called the base. He verified the phone log. I had actually contacted the FAA and already written a FOIA because you got to get on them right away. And I had that time at 10 p.m. And the FOIA officer wrote back and said I needed to confirm more details. At that time, I got the corrected time back from the witness, which I provided to the FAA. And they gave me the right data. I mean, they were really good about getting the right data to me. Originally, I got binary data, and it was hard. I couldn't read it, and they gave me the rest of the data in a text-readable format. I have not had a chance to verify it, but in addition to that, the witness verified that phone call, the phone log, and he knew he made the call right at the end of the sighting. So he verified that, and then he talked to one of his neighbors. So he did a lot of his own research about it. You know, I suppose you could go look at, and it's too late for that now, but if you really got exhaustive, sometimes, you know, they got cameras, the Department of Transportation, and you kind of look on Interstate 5 and say, well, did these cameras pick this thing up anywhere? I suspect it was flying fairly low based on the report.
It almost reminds me of the whole Rendlesham thing where it's, I mean, but this is a rectangle, like a flying rectangle. Like it reminds me of 2001 or something. So it's a pretty weird situation. I'm not really sure how we'd explain that one in any conventional terms. Maybe hypothetically, I suppose someone could construct something like that as a lighter than aircraft, you know, fill it with helium or something, some sort of really odd configuration, put some lights on it and float it around to weird people out. But it's either that or it's some kind of alien craft.
Yeah, I mean, it was at night, but it wasn't, you know, it's flying over that lake. And, you know, at that time of night, that time of year, a lot of people might not have seen it. And when you look at that, and then the fact that, you know, it had those blinking lights, but it made no sound, so whatever it was, I don't know whether I checked the winds aloft. I can still do that, whether, you know, it would be with the wind or not. That's something I might check. When I do these reports, Thrader, I generally go in and extract meteorological data, too, and take a closer look at it, and that's something I will double-check when I process the radar data. But I have dumped the radar data. I've got a good dump, you know, in the right time and location of what I asked for. But, again, I wouldn't say I'm swamped with reports. I really was last spring. I had a backlog of 60 reports last March and April. I've got a backlog of about a half a dozen now, so I'm not quite as behind as I was. And this is definitely on my, literally high on my radar. I would want to mention a couple points, maybe going back earlier in the show. We talked about the UAPs and the, you know, release and what we're going to see. Allegedly, you know, and you guys probably heard about this, this Israeli, ex-Israeli politician talking about, this ex-Israeli politician that talked about, you know, coordination between, you know, the U.S. military and alien intelligence, that we're working with them.
Now, I suppose one can make the argument here that the government isn't capable of coordinating with anyone. They're not capable of coordinating with other countries, not capable of coordinating with themselves. Alien beings? Are they able to coordinate with alien beings? I'm going to ask you about that. I think that's a little bit overdone, but you never know. Got more to come with William Puckett and Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I did a column for the Paracast newsletter, actually two of them, about prominent people, political figures, government officials, etc., saying nice things about UFOs. But this guy from Israel, I mean, we're talking to people from the Galactic Empire or something, he says?
I mean, yeah, it is highly speculative, you know, but the guy has credibility. I mean, it's just like the gentleman in Canada, was it Wilbur Smith?
It was Wilbur Smith who had credibility, and then Paul Hellyer who didn't.
You're right.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Yeah, right. Hellyer basically, you know, he read a bunch of UFO literature and became quite fascinated with it, and then I think took it a little bit too much to heart by the sounds of it. At least that's kind of the assessment of most serious ufologists.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the case with this guy, too. I mean, is he just some cock and bull story or whatever, or is he really reiterating the facts, you know? I mean, that guy in England that allegedly hacked into the Pentagon.
McKinnon?
Yeah, Gary McKinnon. I mean, he said the same thing, but we're going by what he said he saw. But yet the government, I mean, they were ready to lock him up and throw away the key, but England never extradited him. So he definitely got into some pretty sensitive stuff, or they wouldn't want to throw the book at him. So you got to wonder about that. And then I don't know who that other gentleman is, Corey Springer, is that his name? He claims that we're in cahoots with other galactic beings and for years, and we ventured off to the stars and Mars and other things. That's highly speculative information, too. But Gary McKinnon did hack into the Pentagon databases, and they were not happy about it. So what did he find out? Is that the truth? I don't know.
I don't think we'll ever find out, because that case is, what, 15 years old?
Yeah, it's been quite a while ago. One thing, too, I want to mention, the arm of Congress that looks over these federal agencies, and this is the one that Stephen Schiff from New Mexico used. It's called the Government Accounting Office, and they can do audits on any FOIA request. They have the power to go in and look at sensitive information. They do have a lot of authority. So if Congress is dissatisfied with these record release from these intelligence agencies, any congressman could go to the Government Accounting Office and have them scrutinize it. So I just want to make that point.
I'm very skeptical about how far Congress will pursue this. I mean, they could say, hey, we're asking about UFOs or UAPs, and we're doing our due diligence. But when it comes to going the next step, watch how that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. You're probably going to see some videos of pilots with UFOs. You might even get some pilot reports. you're not going to see the stuff that was sitting on the floor of Carswell, or not in the floor in Carswell Air Force Base, that was supposed to be on the floor, but was on, was in fact on en route to Dayton, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. You're not going to see that information.
Our friends at the Debrief did an article on this upcoming release as well. It's their assessment that the UAP report provision is not binding law. So there is no guarantee that the public will be provided with any comprehensive information on UAPs. In other words, if they want to, this is sort of a codicil to the bill. It's not actually, you have to do this. So we might just be told, well, we didn't really have to do it. We had more important things to do, like Gene was saying, and just nothing at all will come of it, period.
Well, you're probably going to get something a little bit more than no records responsive to requests, but you're probably not going to get a lot more. And then John Greenwald did get information, quite a bit of information from the CIA, but he can't read it. Oh, I mean, what has he got to do? Get a cryptographer or something to decipher it, you know? And you know, they
well, that's the ultimate hoax. There. Well, we gave him the information. It's too bad he can't read it.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I'm encouraged that Congress wants some transparency, but I'm not at all convinced that we're going to see anything in the dark, deep vaults of Wright-Patt Field. I mean, I worked with a woman. Actually, I dated her once when I was working in Seattle at the Environmental Protection Agency. She worked at Wright-Patt Field, and there was all kinds of rumors going on. Oh, yeah, we got people that are guarding these vaults, and boy, there's some deep, dark secrets. Well, they do have vaults below the ground at Wright-Patt Field. I mean, Barry Goldwater tried to find that out from General LeMay, and he definitely said, don't ask me that question again. I can't get in there, and neither can you, Senator.
This is something we can get into maybe a little more on after the Paracast, but
sure.
How about a couple more sightings for our listeners out there in radio land?
One quickie, okay? One quickie, and then we'll adjourn and pick it up after the Paracast. William?
Well, here's one. Again, open to some speculation. A Ring doorbell camera case, what I get a lot of, Hermitage, Tennessee. Ring doorbell camera, it did sound, reveals dish-shaped object. Hermitage is, if you look on my site, all I'd say is probably about 20 miles east of Nashville, give you a perspective. And you can look at the photo on the Ring doorbell. It looks like a dish-shaped craft. And the witness did give me a daytime photo of where that photo was taken. You know, I mean, what could it be from a reflection? And I will give you the actual and word-by-word witness report. Two photos are attached. My Ring camera at my alarm sounded and opened on my cell phone. And the next day it was saved, and I made a screenshot of the unknown item. Today, I took a picture of the same area in daylight to compare to the area. I have not been concerned except that it keeps bugging my mind. The weather was wet, but rain had stopped. I note this is a strange photo, given that the doorbell was triggered at the time, adds more credibility to the sighting. That means it was an object in motion that triggered the Ring doorbell. I mean, they're motion detectors, and that's what triggers them. So whatever that was triggered, and that's what the photo showed. Again, I have had a lot of Ring doorbells that are dumps that are probably spiders or ice crystals, et cetera, et cetera. I looked at it, and I scratched my head. It's open to interpretation.
What can I say? That sounds like a good way to end this segment, and then we'll pick it up on after the Paracast. For listeners who want to know more about all the stuff that William Puckett does, and it's a lot, tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Well, then go to my UFO blog, www.ufosnw.com, which is abbreviation for UFO Northwest. It's mobile-friendly. The fonts are formatted for your mobile devices and iPads, etc. Also, if you want to find out about sightings in Montana, go to my Montana sighting blog, which is UFO sightings, plural, Montana.com. So I have two blogs. If you see a UFO, definitely report it to me. We like to have your photos, videos, sketches, and reports.
And also we have a great archive of appearances of William Puckett on After the Paracast, and we'll get into how you can get that in a moment. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. They haven't banned us yet, nor have they banned us from Facebook, and we have two segments there. Boy, we don't want to get into the politics of that. You can also find branded merchandise at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. Four different logos. Pick the stuff you like, and we'll send it off to you. Great prizes. The Paracast Plus offers the After the Paracast podcast, and William's going to be on this weekend's edition, and he's been on many others. You can check through the archives. We give you a version of this show free of the network ads for low subscription prices. If you order a five-year or lifetime subscription, it's not that expensive. We will give you a coupon code for free download for The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary with 3 hours of extra material. To find out more about the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus, of course. Once again, theparacast.plus takes you right to the ordering page where you pick what you want. William Puckett, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I look forward to being on future broadcasts. And, of course, there's dozens and dozens of sightings that I didn't even talk about today that are really important. So I encourage people to visit my site.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.